Hebrew calendar.
Is it beginning Purim? Purim?
Yeah. It is a holy day. It started last night at sundown, and it goes through Monday at sundown. We'll talk a little bit about Purim today. I actually told John, I said I want to take care of dessert tonight because we can't have a Purim without hamantaschen.
I was going to say, where are they?
So I drove down to Los Alamitos
nice. To
get some hamantaschen because there's a story behind the hamantaschen that we'll talk about later. But it's important. The Jews are celebrating this holy day, and though we may not be Jewish by nationality, all of our roots come from them, and it's good to understand why are they celebrating, and you know, do they even understand what they're celebrating?
Right.
You know, I was impressed to read the whole book of Esther because Purim is all about Queen Esther and her destiny from the Lord. There's so much in that story that I've related to about the call of God in my life. So I was really enjoying just going through it again with some things that the Lord had spoken to me. It's so fun how he puts a message together, because sometimes I can just be out and he'll say, get this, get this, get this. So I'm going to give you each something. It just so happens that Queen Esther was living in Persia. Who knows what that is today?
Iran.
Yeah. So she's out in the Middle East. Now, there are blue in here, and those are for the males, all right? The other colors are for the females. They confuse them. So you can just pass around and take them out of their little packages. Yes, take it out of your package.
Make sure you take a blue one.
Yeah,
take
a
lot. There are some green ones, so if you want to have a green one. Well, just make sure the guys get the color they want.
They will not settle for pink.
Somebody teaching you over there? What? Who? What? Oh, everyone, there's plenty, I'm sure. All right. So we're going to begin. You're going to need your paper, and you're going to need your Bible. And you might think, oh, okay, what's the mirror for? Some of us are used to working with mirrors, right, ladies? And some people aren't used to working with mirrors, but on a daily basis. But let's think about Queen Esther. Why was she chosen the queen?
Beauty.
I want you to just think about this a minute. And why were the women that were in contention for being queen made to go through 6 months of immersing themselves in myrrh and 6 months of immersing themselves with sweet spices? And do you think the preparation was just physical? Do you think they just wanted a pretty queen? Well, I'm sure that was part of it. They wanted a pretty queen, but that wasn't the only prerequisite. Especially when you read the book of Esther and you find out how important who she was to what happened to the Jewish people. It took a person that could handle the call. And so we look at this day of Purim not because Queen Esther won a beauty contest, because she was chosen and she was beautiful. But we chose it because she found herself in the mirror of God's Word. Not necessarily just her reading the scriptures, but she found it through the help of her uncle, Mordecai. You all know that this ministry is about leaders, and it's helping leaders find themselves in the volume of the book, continually finding yourself. Do you know when you begin as a leader, there's a destiny once you're in that place, once you're groomed? Once she went through all the purification, it wasn't the end, it was just the beginning of her rule. So any purification that you go through with the Lord is not the end. It's just the beginning of God being able to use you at a high level. I was speaking with somebody from Prophetic Ministries and talking to them about answering a question that somebody had asked me. And they said, oh, Lisa, you gave them the higher truth. You know, there's truth and then there's the higher truth. The higher truth is the way God would have answered the question instead of just being legalistic about something. So there were two spices, and I just want to preface this today with what Queen Esther went through. She went through 6 months of immersing herself every single day in myrrh. So think about that, just immersing yourself every single day in myrrh. Now, myrrh was used for embalming the dead. You might think, why was Esther used to immerse herself in something that was embalming the dead? We will never know our call, answer our call, or fully embrace our call until all the deadness of thinking incorrectly about ourselves is gone. We have to think the way he thinks. You know, she came from living with her uncle, losing her parents at a young age, and she did not have any idea at the time of their capturing her and taking her that she was on her way to fulfilling her destiny. And so during those first 6 months, they were 6 months of thinking about herself. She was in contention to be a queen. But those 6 months of myrrh, and when you know what myrrh is and what it's used for, I'm sure it was something to think about. Because, see, she also had what scriptures were available at that time, and heard the counsel of God through her uncle and any other connections with the Jewish people that were in that part of the world at the time. So any time that we're moving forward to the next level in the Lord, there is another immersing. It's called the baptism we hear about in the book of Acts, the immersing. And so every time we come up to a new level, we've only known ourselves where we were. We have to come to that place of looking at ourselves. I've really been thinking about this because you're going to do some looking at yourself today. But you're also going to do some looking at other people, because this is your only way to really see naturally yourself, is a mirror. But one way you can actually see yourself as well is to look into the eyes of other people. And it's been a really fun exploring, because sometimes the thing that we cannot stand the most, we actually see in other people. Mm-hmm. Because people actually reflect back to us, even our mannerisms, the way that we're looking. I'm always watching people's eyes at how they're taking in or not taking in what's being said. You can tell if you really have learned the way when people are open and when they're not. And just like a camera, when somebody's really open, their pupils actually get bigger. When they're closed, their pupils get small, unless they're in the sun. But it's just the way God's made us. It's just like capturing a picture, and I'm sure Sarah can understand this, when you're taking a photo, if there's too much sun, you know, the shutter gets smaller. It can't take in too much sun. And so sometimes you have to use different lenses to get certain photographs. So the old thinking, and I was reading something recently, and somebody said, well, the old man, and I thought, ooh, they don't have revelation of this. The old man does not live here anymore. So anything that we see in ourselves we don't like, it's just old thinking. It's somehow we haven't begun to think the way God thinks about us. If the Lord really just appeared right now and started talking face to face with each one of you and said, this is what you're going to do a year from now, your pupils might get really small. Or they may get really big with excitement. I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. But some people, it's hard for them to take in what God is saying. Do you think Esther was that way? Well, I think it shows, as you read the book of Esther, that she had some challenging moments. Not really sure. Then there were the sweet spices. We talked about the sweetness of Jesus. That was a powerful message. The sweetness of Jesus. Well, those sweet spices are really important because they remove bitter taste. Did you know that? When you add something sweet, it removes the bitter taste. I did a little research about cinnamon. I know a lot of people are really into the cinnamon kick, you know, the fads that go around, oh, take all of this. But they have found that there is some truth to bitterness within the stomach, that sometimes people that take in cinnamon can actually help. Well, it is a sweet spice that's supposed to help eliminate those bitter things. And so the sweetness of Jesus, like I said last time, helps you to deal with the bitter things of life. That's how he can take anything in our lives that's been a sour experience for us and turn it into something sweet. And he does that through helping us understand the bigger picture. And this is what Queen Esther, though she wasn't the queen at the time, learned about the great assault on the Jewish people. And even when she did become queen and was in the behind the scenes and awareness of what was going on and what was being said about even annihilating her own people, it was a bitter thing. But you know what? She took the sweet counsel of her uncle. And how many of you know what he said to her? He said, how do you know that you weren't brought here for such a time as this? Well, we have a lot more revelation than maybe they did back in those days, because we have the whole counsel of God here. It wasn't written down then. But I will tell you, you were brought here for such a time as this. And that's one thing that we have to be able to see within ourselves. We were brought here. No mistakes. No mistakes. I don't care how your parents brought you here. You're here for such a time as this. Because he works all things together so that you are here for such a time as this. That's one thing that's so wonderful about the Lord. So I want you to each look in the mirror right now, your own mirror. I don't want you to look at your hair and your makeup. I want you to look in your eyes I just want you to look in your eyes for a minute. Not your eye makeup, but just your eyes. And I want you to ask yourself, what do I see in me? What do I see? Do you see tiredness in your eyes? Do you see a person you like? Do you see excitement? Do you see a desire to want to know more? Most people don't take this time to do things like this, to really just look at themselves. Some people don't want to look at themselves. And I know, you can put your mirror down for a second. I know from working with people in the type of work that I did, I always had them very close in the mirror, and I was kind of surprised through all the years at how many would say to me, I've never done this before. I've never looked at myself like this. At all the little, and I was doing the details of all the features, but they had never done that. And so I had to be very delicate with people because they were meeting themselves many times for the first time. And then when you go and you encourage them to maybe do some things that are a little different, sometimes it was shocking. They couldn't see themselves a certain way. That's why I was inclined to encourage Sarah to get some advice before she just jumped and made some change because of where she's entering, and that somebody that has a lot of experience at looking and seeing what could be good in a change could assist. It's almost like having the Mordecai. See, Mordecai was important for Esther. Everyone needs someone like a Mordecai in their life, someone that can see things they can't see. For whatever reason, whether it's just youngness, they don't have a lot of experience, whether they just have had some terrible situations in a marriage or in a family where they were demeaned so much so they can't really see these things. And that's why you need to become a friend. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you want to know how good your love life is, it's only as good as how you love yourself. And loving yourself is not hating everyone else or putting everybody else down either. When we accept ourselves, this is the bill of goods I got. This is what I have. This is the raw materials. I've been talking about that lately. This is the raw materials I was given. What am I going to do with it? Not just my outer person. What am I going to do with my mind that I was given? What am I going to do with my heart that God gave me? What am I going to do with it? And these are things that you have to take time to do for yourself. Most people don't take this time. I know that. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 11, starting with verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Yeah, this mirror has a frame around it. And every one of us grew up with some framework in our thinking about ourselves. So think about a frame a minute. There's all kinds of frames. And if anybody's artsy and wants to use these afterwards, they're welcome to have them. But just think about all these frames. Some blank, kind of empty, not a whole lot of anything to them. But the Bible says that the Word of God frames everything. What does that mean? When God speaks into your life, it begins to bring something to it. Everything about your life is framed when God speaks into your life. So whatever He is speaking into your life right now, He's framing your life. What do they do when a family has a fire in their home? The first thing they want to do is go get those pictures. Mm-hmm. Why? Because those pictures are their memories of what they had. But how many people take the time to get with the Lord to let Him begin to frame their life? To begin to speak into their life. You know, your life is going to look like this. And you know what? Your life is going to be just like a happy sunshine, and your life is going to be like this to people. He wants to frame our lives. And the only way He frames it is by the speaking to you. You're not going to ever get God framing your life from just reading the scriptures as words on paper. That's the Logos. You're going to have the revelation when He actually personally says, Debbie, Patty, Irene, Terry, when He actually takes and He personally speaks something to you. That's how He begins to frame. That's why when we look in the mirror, we look and he might say, so how are you about that situation? How you doing? How are you thinking about that? Can you see it in your eyes? You know? Can you see it on your face? Right? I think some people run away from mirrors because they don't know what to do with themselves. That's why they need God to speak. And say, you know, I really think you need to put some of these little things in your life. I think you need to get involved in this. I think you need to start seeing yourself, you know, in a business suit behind an executive chair. Do you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's the one that frames. And if we don't have a living relationship with God speaking to us, we'll miss out on having our life framed. Most people are framed by the devil. And it's just circumstances. Whatever happens, happens. How many people ever say that to you? Well, whatever happens, happens. You know, whatever's, you know, it just, whatever happens, happens. They're just opening up to the dark side. So we have to talk to the Lord about His framing. It was interesting when I was in the store buying these. I was over at Michael's. A man and I met, he was in the framing where I was, where these frames were. And I said, I've seen you before. And he said, I don't remember you. I said, but I know there's something about your face that I remember. And I remember we had a discussion. I was like, where did I see this man? But he was an older gentleman. Anyway. So I'm getting my frames, and he went off, and all of a sudden, I'm in another aisle of beads, and there he was again. I said, so are you finding what you want? And he said, well, my daughter's running for Miss Downey. I said, that's it! That's it! It was the Downey float. you had me help frame the flute. See, he was working. There was nobody was giving anybody anything to do, and I wanted help. So I said, do you need any help? He said, yeah, hold this board, and you can say you helped frame the float. Okay. But he needed help.
That's funny.
I said, it's okay. I've done this for my dad before. He's worked with wood. And he goes, you know, I do remember talking to you. So we got into a discussion about the framing and the things of God. It was really interesting, but I could see in his eyes the misunderstanding of the scriptures. Because it didn't just come out of his eyes, it came out of his mouth. But I wasn't there to change his whole theology in a moment. But he said, come back and help on the float again. So maybe I'll see him again this year, I don't know. So just like Queen Esther, our whole life can change if we will understand that process of the purification of our lives. We're going to watch a movie during dinner. And it's a movie that some of you have seen and some of you haven't. So I'm going to share a few things about it to help you see it correctly. Because to me, it's one of the greatest visuals. It's a movie that Miriam used in one of my mentorings. And I think it's just a spectacular movie to help people understand what they need to do with themselves. Sometimes a picture says so many things. But the movie is called The Matrix. And I was watching it recently, again, just observing it. There's so many spiritual revelations in this movie. So many revelations to help people find out who they are and find themselves in the volume of the book. A lot of clues. You know, I was thinking about it, I thought, okay, the guy who knew Neo was the one, his name was Morpheus. And the reason it's such an amazing spiritual movie, I don't even know the people behind who even developed the movie, is that Morpheus, I've told you before, was a Greek god. He was a god of dreams. And he could turn himself into whoever he wanted to be, whenever he wanted to be. And that's where Paul got the verbiage in Romans, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The metamorphosis. It's the season for butterflies to transform. And that transformation is a complete melting down, a complete reconstruing of every bit of the DNA that was already in that butterfly. And that's really what it is when you're discovering yourself and you're moving into what you have. Every time you move into a new level with God, there has to be more transforming on the inside. That's why we progress in the call of God in our lives. Even in the business world, there is a progression of a ladder that promotes people. People that get promoted into high positions without all of the steps are really missing out. They're missing out in how to actually be a Morpheus to those that don't know the way. As you watch this movie, ask yourself who you are. Are you Morpheus? Are you someone that's mentoring people? Are you Neo, someone that's not really sure if he's the one? Are you Trinity? Trinity, if you haven't seen the movie, became Neo's very good friend because she had already yielded to the process. You look at her and you watch her through the movie, and she has her spirit, soul, and body completely united to function at a high level. Now, Neo means new. The new man. What? Who was he? Who did they think he was? As you watch the movie, you'll see Neo go through being born again, where he actually goes into a place, and it looks like there's just a bunch of babies there, and he's all hooked up to a bunch of stuff. But he's completely born again. And it seems like every time I watch the movie, I get something new from it. But there was a point in it when he came out of being born again and all the plugs were pulled and he slipped through that slide, that he said to Morpheus, "My eyes hurt. My eyes hurt." Do your eyes ever hurt? Why did Neo's eyes hurt? Well, Morpheus said, it's because you've never used them before. You know, a lot of people use their natural eyes all the time. They're used to functioning completely out of the natural, but they've never used their spiritual eyes. So to me, that was a great revelation that you have to be able to understand the spiritual things to really be like Trinity, the whole person. You have to be able to see things in the spirit as well as see things in the natural. Because sometimes what you see in the natural is nothing like really what is going on in the spirit. For example, we have to train our children about strangers. Because naturally somebody can appear to be really good, but if the spirit man is developed, they can know, nope, not right. And everything outwardly can be looking wonderful. So I know in the days ahead, each one of us must have more spiritual insight to be able to look in your mirror again, look at yourself again, and see if you see something you didn't see before. I'm not talking naturally. I want you to look into your eyes. Did you know you, Christ in you, can encourage you? Are your eyes brighter now since you've been hearing the Word of God than before? Mine are. Because you're letting light in. Spiritual light. Did you know it can wake you up? It can actually revive you? When you're tired, spiritual light. The anointing of God has the ability to resurrect. It can take the vision you have of yourself and completely change it. It can help you. You know, a lot of times people will try to go through a big diet program. They lose all the weight and then they gain it all back. And they don't know why. It's because they didn't change. They didn't change. They still reverted back to the way they only saw themselves. And that's why we have to change on the inside to maintain the outer changes. We have to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this about myself? why am I thinking this way? Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to ask ourselves. We have to get in the mirror. This is your mirror to keep forever. This is your special mirror to have a little talks with yourself. You can take it wherever you go. Because anytime you're nervous about something or you're upset about something, you can have a little talk. All right. Is this really the way that you're to approach this? See, a lot of people, they hide from themselves because they don't face themselves. But if you face yourself every single day, you'll be true to yourself. If you really face yourself every single day and really have some talks with yourself. David encouraged himself when everyone was against him. You know, back in those days, they didn't have the pretty mirrors, but they did have metal, so they still had mirrors. They still have things to look in. And you're going to need it in the days ahead. With all that's going on in the world, I had somebody ask me a question recently about the red moons and how they're kind of coming in line with a couple Jewish holidays. But the Lord said, don't even touch it. Don't touch it. And I happened to listen to a message by Miriam about Noah. It wasn't about red moons. It was about Noah. And what I heard, because I was looking in the mirror for the answer. What is my response to this person? I don't want to be rude and not say anything, but what's the response? And he said, just tell this person, the answer is, are you ready for the day? Are you ready for the day that you live in? Because it's nothing more than a distraction to get into all of this stuff. And a lot of people, because there's a lot of prophetic things going on, but are you ready for the day? And the goal is, yes, I'm ready. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to hear you, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to obey you. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to make whatever needed changes, and I'm going to make the biggest change in the inside. I'm going to let your word dwell in me. I'm going to let you convince me, Lord, that I need to think this way about myself. That's important. There's a sheet I'm going to pass out you can take home, and it's something that I ministered a long time ago called the purification process, and I actually used, from my business background, the practical elements of cleansing and exfoliating and how they related spiritually. So you can take one and pass this around, and you can study this at home. Turn in your Bible to Esther 4. Esther had given a message to Mordecai, And the message was the plot to kill the Jews. She's queen, all right? She's queen, but she needed help. She needed help to discern. You know, sometimes you look at a situation, right? Here's my mirror again. I'm looking at a situation and I'm thinking about it. But she was missing a piece. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. It's an interesting thought. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shalt their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It was interesting how he responded to her. Because he knew enough about God that he knew the Jews would be delivered someplace because he knew the scriptures. But he was trying to help her understand, Esther, maybe this is just why God brought you into that queen position to deliver the Jews. You may think, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I involved with CPAC? Why do I want to go to Israel? Why do I want to do these things? You know, God's going to have his way anyway. But how do you know, Patricia Tuttle, that what you're doing was not for such a time as this? How do you know, Rich Tuttle, that you're not sparing the city of Downey damage because you answered the call? Do you hear what I'm saying? A lot of times we don't realize it's our answering yes to the things of God is more than us. How do you know, Mr. and Mrs. Baker, that opening your home to God and his prayer is not going to have a hand in not only your home, but the city of Whittier? How do you know, Sean, that opening up your doors, sometimes you just don't know at the moment. But you can talk to the Lord about these things. And he'll be honest with you. And he'll tell you what he knows you can handle. And he will tell you nothing in that, of those things you cannot handle. But if you're honest with him, he'll tell you what you can handle. And I do believe that this ministry celebrating our 11 years was brought here for such a time as this. And all of our connections and all the things, and I don't take it lightly, I take it very seriously, that he has asked me to help to raise up this army of people that will take it serious. He's brought each one of you here. I know that. I couldn't have gone and found you on my own any better than God did it, because every single one of you is pretty remarkable how each one of us have met. It wasn't necessarily any of us were friends before. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's pretty divine. And that's wonderful to live. So how long is this metamorphosis going to take? Says he began a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we wait until the last minute. It's better to put it in him young. It's better to have it young and have these things established, because then you will get rewarded for your whole life. I want you to think about everything that you do. From the minute you leave this home tonight, is what you're doing going to be rewarded? Because the king has asked this of you. There's no days off. There's no days off. It's will I be rewarded for this? Is this why I've been brought here? And if you really want to know, take some time in the mirror. Literally, take some time in the mirror and talk to yourself. I've always said that Mary Kay used to say to us, if you can convince the woman in the mirror, you can convince anyone. And it's true. If you can convince yourself, well, what does that look like to convince yourself? That means your spirit man that's been born again can help the natural man that may have some issues from the past understand what you're doing is right. And sometimes you have to encourage yourself, like David, in the Lord, even if you feel tired at times. Mm-hmm. Right? You had a big day and you feel tired. You know, I actually did feel a little bit tired earlier. I don't feel tired anymore. Isn't that amazing? How fast the life of God can flow through your veins and revive you. Seek Him. Look in your mirror often. Be true to yourself. Because I'll tell you, there's one person you cannot lie to and get away with it, and that's yourself. You know why? Because you'll know. Other people could be fooled. But if you look in the mirror and you say, I'm doing this, I'm sending this resume in, I'm going to talk to this person, I'm going on this vacation, and you look at yourself, you will tell on yourself. Isn't that exciting to know you're your best friend? So I know some people like to call and ask people, what do you think I should do? And that's okay to get counsel, but I'll tell you, look at yourself first. If you need to talk to somebody about a situation, look at yourself first and say, all right, how am I going to talk? How am I coming across? Did you know that when we speak to people, and I'm looking at all your faces, it's always interesting to look at people's faces, because you can tell through our body language what's kind of going on. I can tell when people are kind of, they're looking up for that file that they don't have on this subject. They're kind of like, what is this? This is new input, new information. There's others that are going, tell me more. I look in her eyes, it's like, tell me more. She's like a human sponge right now. Yeah, she wants to know. Tell me more. Others, I can look and they might be thinking, what am I going to do with this? Sounds kind of daunting. All of this. But guess what? You be true to yourself. You have a good talk with yourself after a service like this and say, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do? Where do you need to be encouraged, Louise? Where do you need to be strengthened, Sean? What changes do you need to make, Larry? What's the next step, Roger? Right? Right? I exhort you. I believe the Lord told me to spend the ministry's money to buy you all these mirrors. For you. To really know where you're going in the days ahead. And if you can't, I know some people have had tough things happen in their life and they have a hard time looking at themselves. Some cultures, it's offensive to give a lot of eye contact. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know I can be with certain cultures and they can look at you for so long and it's threatening. And I know even with the dog kingdom, you have to really watch staring at another animal or even a person for too long in the eyes directly because people feel threatened. And dogs do feel threatened. One time, Dino was here, and I know it was a couple people that had a lot of fear in their life, and they got right down in his face, and I thought, no, this isn't good. They got in the face and wouldn't take their eye contact away, and he just kind of went like that at him. And I had to just say, no, he won't be in here anymore, because he's sensitive to that. And so you need to make sure you are aware of that with an animal. They don't, that's how animals threaten each other, is by that continuous eye contact. So, but you, be safe with yourself. Start with you. And see how well you do and facing yourself in the days ahead. It's exciting. You can actually look at yourself and go, wow, I look pretty chipper for today. Wow, this is pretty exciting. You know, maybe look at yourself before you praise the Lord and afterwards and say, whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just look at your eyes right now and see if you've changed since the beginning of the service. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? All right. Well, Father, we thank you for the truth and a creative way to demonstrate. I ask that you help the people as you've helped me all my life since I met my first mirror with you, and you changed me forever. And I thank you, Jesus. Give you all of the glory for this. Amen. Amen.